Live from the historic parsonage of 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It's Iron Sharpens Iron, a radio platform on which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs 27, verse 17 tells us, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Matthew Henry said that in this passage, quote, "We are cautioned to take heed whom we converse with, and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better." It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next hour, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. Now here's our host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this 18th day of February 2019. And I am thrilled to have back for the second time Pete Orta, the former lead guitarist for the renowned Christian rock group and Gospel Hall of Fame inductees, Petra, between 1996 and 2000, winner of a gold record, a Dove Award nominee for 3 Grammys, and a Grammy winner for Gospel Rock Album of the Year for the award-winning album Double Take, a contributor of production techniques to the soundtrack for the film Left Behind, World at War, and subsequent to a genuine rebirth in Christ Jesus, is now pastoring Cottonwood Creek Church in Denison, Texas. Today we are addressing part 2 of a discussion that we began last week. In fact, it was last Friday. The discussion on confessions of a renowned Christian recording artist who was not a Christian. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back for the second time for part 2 of our discussion, Pete Orta.
Hey, man. Glad to be here.
Great. By the way, what nationality is Orta? Sounds Greek.
Orta. It's Mexican.
Really? Oh, okay.
Yeah. I was born in the States, but I'm third generation.
Oh.
Gondo.
Cool. Basically, let's start off by summarizing in a big way what we discussed last week, because we want to leave time for things we didn't address last week. When you were the lead guitarist for Petra between 1996 and 2000, and even after that, when you went on a solo career as a Christian recording artist, you claimed last week, in fact, I'm kind of putting two and two together. Is this the first time during this two-part series on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio that you've ever publicly given this testimony about not being a Christian when you were in the group Petra and even as a solo Christian recording artist?
Yes, this week has been my first week in I don't know how many years.
Wow. Well, I mean, last Friday you started on the show and then today. So, that's I'm honored that you have chosen Iron Sharpens Iron Radio as a format, as a platform to let our listeners know about this, let the world know about this, because I think it's very important because of the way Christians idolize CCM artists and do not think critically and do not use discernment when adopting many of these folks as heroes and so on. And we have to be very careful about that. But to summarize, and I want you to obviously add anything in your own words, but from what we have already discussed, were basically a nominal Christian who didn't know much of anything about Christianity when you were hired by Petra to be their lead guitarist. Then you entered into Word of Faith Pentecostalism. Your wife had already had that faith. She was raised in that faith of Word of Faith Pentecostalism, which you and I agree is a heresy. And then, because of the letdown, because of the dashed hopes, because of the realization that it was a lie, referring to Word of Faith Pentecostalism, you swung over to a heresy that's 180 degrees opposite of that. The deist understanding of God and how he operates in the world, not even as a knowing, apologetically informed deist, but you later found out that that's really what the beliefs you had would, that's how they would be best described under the umbrella of deism. So have I got this right so far?
Yes, a little bit. I always had to go back and double check with my wife on timeline because she's way better. Whenever we talk, I always look at her for dates and times, but she was raised in a charismatic, I think under Larry Lee, the Church on the Rock, Trinity in Lubbock, Texas, that theology, which is charismatic. I met her at a charismatic church. That's when I got exposed to it. And then it was later, so that was before my time with Petra. And then after that, of course, it started bleeding over to, I took some of that, I didn't know what it was, but that word of faith, just, you know, blab it and grab it, as they say. And it just seemed to make sense, as I was succeeding, but it didn't make sense anymore, after that. And I'm a pretty logical guy. I think I was told at the time that, you know, that God is some type of experience or whatever. And, you know, I never wanted to be one to completely turn my face from God, as angry as I've been at him throughout my life. But, yeah, that's kind of the timeline there.
And Pete has recorded with the most well-known CCM recording artists. And then I'd like to find out how the folks who created the film Left Behind World at War got a hold of you, because I'm wondering if you were a Christian at that time, but even if you were, I'm assuming because you're reformed today that you have parted company with the makers of that film theologically.
Yeah, man, I'm going to be honest. I never was churched enough to even understand eschatology. I had no idea. You know, you're by default, you're dispensational in America. That might be something even all over the world.
It is. It seems to be the most loud voice in the media in America, at least.
With no education, you're free will and dispensational. With no, I mean, day one of being born again. That's, you know, until you. That's just kind of a. I don't know where we land, or I don't know if it's our culture, but. I didn't know anything about that. I didn't even give much attention to any end time stuff. My wife read the entire series. I just remember her getting book after book after book after book, and she read it. She was in, you know, got into that. She tried to get me into reading that End Times and Left Behind. It just was too bizarre for me. Like, I am super, super logical, and it just didn't make sense for me to even know or understand. I just knew when I was going to die before the end of it, and who knows what's going to happen after that.
Yeah, you said something key here. It is fascinating that many churches and pastors and media personalities who are Christian, it's interesting how much is emphasized, and how much the imagination of Christians are titillated by events that they're not even going to experience.
It's really tripped out, man.
Because if you're raptured before the tribulation, most of what they're talking about isn't even something that we're going to know about or see.
I know, man. It's a trip. I first started at this church. And, man, you know, almost week one, I had three people come up to me and say, well, I'm an end times teacher, and, I would like to get with you sometime. And I, you know, all three of them, I said, dispensational, right? You know, and they're, oh, well, yes. I said, well, I would rather, if I have an end times teacher at my church, I would rather somebody go over amillennialism and then, you know, post-mill, and, you know, in pre-mill and preterism, partial preterism. I would want everybody to kind of, you know, the teacher to kind of explain each one.
Right.
And that's how I got rid of them, because they, dispensational teachers don't know, they don't even understand what I just said.
Crazy. Well, we don't want to go too far, because some of my heroes, like John MacArthur, he's a dispensationalist, and I have a number of very good friends, but that is not the focus of their preaching, teaching, and in their overall ministry.
Let me say this, just to clean that up. John MacArthur, I have heard his version of dispensational, and it is not the classical historical form of dispensational, and that guy is just primo in my book.
Yes, I love John MacArthur, and in fact, pray about this, folks, but there is, from what I understand, there's a strong likelihood that in the next several weeks to a month, that John will be returning to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio for his second interview, so please pray that that happens. He's a very busy man, and his ministry keeps a very tight hold on his schedule. But I know that the staff over there at Grace to You has become thrilled and excited with my interview over the with the current president of Family Radio, Tom Evans, because of his repentance over the heresies of Harold Camping, who is now deceased. And Grace to You is now a part of the lineup on Family Radio. They were refusing invitations to join Family Radio's lineup until Brother Flowers and Brother Johnson and others on staff there heard my interview, and apparently they've been spreading word about Iron Sharpens Iron interview with Tom Evans, so I'm very, very delighted about that. But that's not what we're talking about today.
It's wonderful.
What I'm going to do right now is I'm going to play another song by Pete Orta. This just to give you an idea of the kind of music he played and recorded, and I actually enjoy listening to it, even though I know after the fact that he was not born again when he even created the solo album Born Again. But here is a song that features some of his guitar work, and that is Broken, on the Born Again album, Pete's first solo album after leaving Petra.
Save the thief.
That was Broken from Pete Orta's solo album, Born Again. And I love that line, by the way, Pete. I don't know if you wrote it or not. But you did. I love the line, let those tears be the Jordan for me. I love that line.
Yeah. Oh, man. Do you know why I wrote that? You get asked the same questions on every interview. I had a joke with the guys with Petra that I would cut off my pinky if I ever got asked a different question ever on tour. And so as we were always being interviewed, I'd kind of stick my finger out on my leg and they would just start cracking up because, you know, what's your favorite color, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, what character in the Bible do you identify with the most? And, of course, I didn't read the Bible. And other than to, you know, pull a lyric like that bridge, Chris Rodriguez wrote that bridge and he just pulled it. I think it's a scripture is where he got that from. Blessed are the pure in heart. They will surely find their God. He's the one that added that in because I had, I don't know, I needed a little something in there. But I would always answer the thief on the cross. That was my out because I just knew that
That's a good answer, though.
Yeah, I was just as messed up, and who knew where I was going when I died? You know? So,
right.
Kind of messed up there.
Yeah, but that should be the answer of every Christian, actually. because that shows in a very vivid way that salvation story of that thief, that salvation was purely of the mercy and grace of Christ. He did not do anything to earn that at all. And in fact, many people, when they refer to that story, and even in movies and on television versions of it, you usually only see one thief mocking Christ. It's almost like good cop, bad cop, where both of the thieves were originally mocking Christ, but then one repented. The movies usually leave out the fact that both of them initially were mocking Christ.
Yes, and both were in an extreme amount of excruciating pain, and a lot of times we as Christians are even set out to evangelize to those that we can visibly see hurting or poor or whatever, and we won't go to the person who's not in pain, who's making a lot of money and in the middle of their success. So they were both in pain, and one did not turn. So
right. Now, when you were singing that song and many other songs, it sounded like you were singing with passion and with meaning. What were you thinking about Christ, about God, about salvation, since you now realize that you were not a Christian at all during those days and didn't even have an understanding of the gospel, of who God was, who the triune Godhead is? What were you thinking about?
I was at the, Dark Horse Studio at the time in Nashville. And I was with Chris Rodriguez in the studio, and you know they were in the control room, and I remember being out and on an SM7B Shure microphone, and you know I'm a passionate person, you know, regardless, I'm just made that way. I'm an all-in type person, and everything I do is to an extreme. When I was there performing and trying to lay down the best track possible, you know, you sing with your guts. And that's exactly what I did. As far as, like, what I'm feeling, man, it was more about making sure that it was, you know, a good vocal performance. And if I've looked back and I've kind of evaluated my solo record to think, just to kind of see, man, where was my head at the time, and they all seem like, if you really look at it, none of the lyrics are as if I am saved. They're almost the ones that I wrote. The songs that I wrote are someone that is contemplating salvation or not understanding of it, like the Broken song and things like that. So, man, just performance. You know, what's Tom Brady thinking about when he's dropping back in the pocket? You know, how does he look? How does he feel? How does he, like, no, man, there's a job that's got to get done. I got to make contact. So, yeah, that's what I'm thinking, just a professional.
Lost people can not only convince others that they're saved, they can deceive themselves that they are saved.
Oh man, that's all around the world, especially in America. I mean, we have to sell ourselves first. You know, a lot of times our belief is so deceiving because we just believe what we have convinced ourselves of. That's the difference between the belief that the Holy Spirit gives us and our own belief. You know, our own self belief. It really is a supernatural belief. I don't think we put much weight to it as we should.
Right. Amen. It's a gift of God, and it is miraculous that we even possess it when we do. One of the things that I'd like to discuss with you that we didn't really get into last Friday, and of course we are not going to name names unless you feel so convinced of the certainty of what you're going to say that you care to name a name, that's up to you, but... When you were in this CCM world, and you yourself had to be rebuked by a number of people for living a life that was not reflective of somebody who was truly born again, being drunk and high and a public spectacle, if you will, and other things that may have occurred that you didn't mention, how typical, how rampant is licentious living that you were aware of in the world of CCM by the CCM artists, the CCM lyricists, the CCM producers, the record label executives, all of that, as much as you want to share.
Man, we're getting in on it, huh? Oh, well, this is what I'll say, just to preface it real quick. You know, I don't know if you've ever taken one of those questionnaires when you were a kid and you're filling out. I don't know if they do it anymore. It's been a long time since I've done anything like that. But I remember as a kid filling out a questionnaire, and one of the questions is, you know, how many people in America drink or do drugs or whatever? And of course, nobody can answer that. The only thing that they're looking for is if it's a high percentage, you're around a bunch of druggies. If it's a low percentage, you're probably pretty naive and there's a less of chance of you being on it. So I always knew that I should answer that really low. You know, 5% of people in the world, you know, smoke pot. So it's kind of like that. It's according to your worldview. It seems like all of CCM was like that, but it was only because it was all the people that were just hanging around me. So I really can't speak for everybody, because I know that a lot of the people's, you know, big favorites, you know, like Stephen Curtis Chapman, you know, I've heard nothing but, and know nothing of him, but just integrity. You know, there's artists like that I have met. I mean, my bandmates are the real deal. You know, Bob Hartman, you know, Louis Weaver and John Schlitt. I mean, they are the real deal. They are Christians. And so, you know, there was, you find your own, and you gravitate towards that. And I think that what happened, and I see a lot of this with young artists coming in, what happens is you go into the deal and you see that it's polarized. There is one side over here, this was my view at the time, that there was these goody-two-shoe preacher kid singers and musicians and record executives, and they've grown up in this bubble, and they're over here trying to do cheesy Christian music, and they've got no roots on anything. Their parents never let them listen to anything to develop their craft at all. It's just shallow and it's contrived, and you have all this stuff. And so when you complain about that, because you're trying to put out some good quality music, and you're fighting against this huge machine and fighting against the radio and who gets to approve the music and things like that, you voicing yourself, you attract those other people. And those other people, of course, you start off artistically saying, hey, you know what, we should be the creators of new music. We should be setting the trends as in Christian music. I mean, you look at Bach, you look at those guys that were setting the trends back then. And so you kind of come together and you start talking like that. And really, it starts off with musical style, and then you start to get to know each other even more, and you'll say a cuss word here or do this or that, and it'll make somebody laugh, and you realize, oh, well, they're not uptight, they're not legalistic, they're not real judgmental, they're super cool people, and they just let you be who you are, and you just kind of find your own tribe. And there really is no in between. When I was in there, now I've been out of the game for a while, so I can't speak for who's in there now, but when I was there, it was the two groups were polar opposite. I remember coming into a green room area, and I walked in, Point of Grace, and I walked into their dressing room and didn't realize it, and of course, cuss word came out of my mouth. Oops, my bad. Walked out, and man, I was just demonized from that point on with that pop church camp. And I don't blame them, who talks like that in this type of deal? So it was kind of, yeah, those are these people, and they're the legalistic, I'm not calling them legalistic, they're legalistic, goody-goody, whatever, and then you've got the bad boys of, Christian music. And that's the camp that I hung in on. And I can't name who was with me.
Well, we are going to our first break right now, and if anybody would like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us, as always, your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors with more of Pete Orta, Confessions of a Renowned Christian Recording Artist Who Is Not a Christian. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Did you know that all believers are priests? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter describes Christ's church as comprising a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So if you're a Christian, you're also a priest. Now you can find the newest styles in Reformed and Protestant apparel at citizenpriest.com. Citizenpriest.com specializes in Christian-themed t-shirts and clothing especially for Reformed Christians. Citizenpriest.com's merchandise is purposefully scripture-based and meant for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the gospel. Let everyone know that you stand firm on the doctrines of the Reformed faith by wearing apparel from citizenpriest.com. Visit citizenpriest.com today.
Hi, I'm Stefan Lindblad, Assistant Professor of Systematic Theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture. I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture, and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well grounded in these truths. Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
G. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnson. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours is Pete Orta. This is his second guest appearance on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And I don't know, do you call a radio guest an appearance? Because nobody can see you, but anyway. Well, this is the second time Pete has been on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. His first interview was last Friday, and this is part two of Confessions of a Renowned Christian Recording Artist Who Was Not a Christian. Thanks be to God he is a Christian now and pastoring Cottonwood Creek Church in Denison, Texas. Pete was lead guitarist for Petra from 1996 to 2000, and then went out on a solo career as a Christian recording artist, and he was not a Christian during any of those years while performing on stage or recording under the label of a Christian recording artist in the CCM industry. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question of your own for Pete, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. And before I forget to do so, and I hope to repeat this later on, but you can always find out more about Pete Orta at his website, PeteOrta.com. That's PeteOrta.com. And one of the reasons I wanted you back on the show, especially since there were things that we did not discuss in depth the first time, is that I think that this is an important thing to do because people, Christians, well-intentioned Christians, Christians who miss the music, the secular music that they may have abandoned when they became saved, or they didn't think there would be anything musically resembling some of the instrumentality that they loved in secular music, and they have discovered it in Christian music. They are too eager and ready and willing to embrace an artist who professes to be a Christian as the real deal, and that can be dangerous, can't it?
Yes. I mean, I think we do it with books as well, just because it's got a stamp on it, it's okay.
And also televangelists and radio and television preachers, yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, years ago, I remember hearing Michael Horton say something profound on the White Horse Inn radio program, but he was talking about how a century ago and even centuries ago, when you picked up a hymnal, the songs of the church were written by pastors. They were written by theologians. They were written by biblically literate people who were truly born again, for the most part. I'm not saying every single song in your hymnal necessarily, but that was basically the rule, and that is the kind of music that fed the church and gave the church voice to worship, music that had and has to this day theologically rich words, biblically deep words, words that exalt the righteousness and holiness and majesty and sovereignty of God and reveal the wretchedness and hopelessness and sinfulness of man. And today, and for quite a while, since the rise of contemporary Christian music, you have marketing teams and radio executives that aren't even saved, that do not have the Holy Spirit dwelling within them, involved in either writing or deciding what words and what songs should be featured on recordings and so on. Do you concur with that assessment of Mike Horton, and what would your response to what I just said be?
I agree with him completely. Like I said, I think there's two different, I think there's some things that shouldn't be brought into the church, and I think that that doesn't mean that everything that's not brought in the church is necessarily bad. You know, if I go to, go see some theater, somebody's going to put on a play, or there's, like I said, a Christian comedian, or, you know, I let my children, I know one of my sons loves Christian rap. And I never, got into that, but he is. And, he's allowed to look up the guys and show us the lyrics. And, like S.O., I think, is one of his favorites. And where they have, some sound doctrine to them. And the sound doctrine is in their lyric. But I don't think that should be a part of our worship time. You know, I don't think that kind of stuff should be in there. I think if it takes a performer to do it, even if it's singing, and if it's in a register that hardly any man or woman can hit, I just don't think it's meant for corporate worship. And then it should be biblical. And some of the times with pop music, I'm not calling it all bad at all. I wouldn't do that. But just because it's not a part of worship, they've got a little bit more creative liberty to not, I'm not saying not be doctrinally sound, but just take liberty on maybe a situation or a relationship thing or how we should handle forgiveness or whatever and take liberty in writing those lyrics. But when it comes to worship, man, it almost should be note for note and word for word biblical. I mean, I know you've got to make things rhyme, and not everything does. And we're and if you pull the Psalms out, it's written in a different language, so it translates different. But I think there should be very little creative liberty in the songs that we sing in our worship time.
Yeah, how do you feel about music? I for a number of years, my radio show was on a radio station that highlighted, that was dominated by CCM music, and I would be like sitting there waiting for my cue to go on the air live, and there would be, you know, Christian music playing before the show, and I would be listening to it, and I would say very often, if not most often, to myself, I can't tell if that woman is singing to her boyfriend or singing to Christ. There's nothing in the lyrics that would be 100% clear that she was singing to Christ, or he singing to his girlfriend or Christ. And very often, even the manner in which, for lack of a better term, the very sexy manner in with which men and women sometimes sing these songs, and you can tell that this must be a song that was intended to be a crossover song so that secular radio stations would pick it up and play it, so people would automatically think, well, that's not even a Christian song. That's a love song. Do you find any problem with that?
Yes, I do. I find a big problem with it. You know, I think that this is what it is, and I was in there. I was in this crowd. There's a crowd and I don't know how big it is. I cannot say. I want people that are sincere, that are Christian artists, that are sincere, to be able to speak for themselves, because they're not. I'm not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater here, but I disagree with that, and that goes on all the time. And the people that fall into it are the people that are wired just like me at that time, where, you know, your opportunity is in Christian music. That's just what unfolded for you. You really do want to be in mainstream music. And if you can cross over and catch a hit on the other side, those artists will go completely over and never come back. The problem that they find themselves in is that they're too Christian for the world and not, you know, and too worldly for the church, and they end up ruining their career. And you can see many of them who have just come crawling back trying to recalibrate and market things correctly. But there's a lot of relationship songs that are between guys. I mean, Desmond Child wrote the very first song on my record, You Make Me Feel. And he is, you know, he's everybody knows that he's gay. He's produced Kiss and Bon Jovi. And, you know, he's a heavyweight when it comes to the mainstream circuit. And I went and I met with him in Miami with my A&R director. And it was all about, you know, getting the best of the best. And, you know, he wrote that song. You cannot tell me that's about glorifying God. You cannot. It's about a relationship, and it's probably about a gay relationship.
Wow, I didn't know that. Yeah, so you basically confirmed what I was saying. Now, I want to also make it clear, maybe you disagree with me, I don't know. I don't think there's anything wrong with Christians who are involved in secular art. Like, for instance, I don't think there's anything wrong with a Christian who sings clean and wholesome music that has nothing to do with Christianity, as long as whatever he or she is singing is not offensive to God. But what gets me angry or disgusted or nauseous is when it is masquerading as Christian music. That's where I'm coming from.
Yes, I agree. I mean, there are some artists that could probably pull it off. I don't know, you know, you could be a Bocelli, you know, or a Pavarotti, or you could be I don't know her faith, but say a Celine Dion. You know, I've never heard any lyrics like that that would, you know, that would cause you to just turn it off because, you know, your kids can't hear it. So I believe that there probably are some artists out there like that, and maybe actors and people in the liberal arts. But I'm going to tell you, I mean, there's only so far that we can go in this world because it's not our world. So how many are there? Probably not many. How popular or famous are they? Probably not the top tier of stars, because it's not our world to succeed in.
Well, so just out of curiosity, were you ever invited to a smaller venue like a church, or perhaps some mega churches are bigger than the major stadiums and auditoriums?
Yeah.
But were you ever invited to a church by a pastor or a congregation who assumed you were a Christian, where you gave your testimony and that kind of thing publicly? Because I know of churches and pastors, even at least one who's a friend of mine, who invited a Christian recording artist to his church to perform and to even, you know, speak and so on, give his testimony. And the man, unfortunately, did not do enough digging and enough investigation to actually know what this person believed. And right there on the stage at his church, he revealed how he went from being lost to evangelical to now having embraced the Roman Catholic Church. And
yeah.
he was horrified by that, because he himself, this pastor, was a Roman Catholic who was actually in the seminary intending to be a priest at one time. And he left the Roman Catholic Church having realized that it had a false gospel after he was saved. And he publicly, to this day, denounces the gospel of the Church of Rome. Now, I know that there are saved Roman Catholics, but they are saved because they believe in a gospel that is not the dogmatic gospel of their own church.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just curious if that ever happened with you and or with any of your bandmates that weren't believers, to your knowledge.
Well, I don't. I assume still to this day that all my bandmates are believers. Because I still know them today, and they still profess their faith. So they gave me, I guess, too much rope. But I was in a lot of churches. I was in some churches. You know, there was just a communication barrier, like in South Korea, Dr. Cho's church there, and then smaller churches, you know, in the Midwest or whatever. My testimony was, I grew up, you know, in an abusive home. I was homeless for a little while. During this time of, you know, one time when I was 14 years old, I think it was 14, 15, I was at a Baptist church, and, you know, a friend of mine that was there was the preacher's kid, and he went to the front and gave his heart over to the Lord. And I felt real awkward because that was my running buddy. And I was like, man, I guess I'm going to hell. So I said the ask Jesus in your heart type thing. And that was good. You know, that was checklist. And, you know, I moved on. And now look at my life now. It's wonderful. It's I'm successful. And it was just kind of like a Hollywood story. And pastors were happy with that.
Huh.
I mean, nobody protected the pulpit. I wouldn't have let myself in my own church if I had to meet myself back then. He wouldn't have passed at all.
One other thing that comes to mind is the danger of the fascination that Christians have, and that includes pastors and leaders, the utter fascination they have with celebrities that become Christian, and they want to immediately rush that person who makes any kind of lame profession into the spotlight, as if, look at this trophy for Christianity that we have won. out from the realm of darkness, and they want to. They do that with sports figures. They do that with Hollywood actors,
yeah,
and they do it with musicians. And that is another thing that is not only dangerous for the audiences that witness this, but it's dangerous for the person himself or herself who is being paraded around as a new trophy for Christ, isn't it?
Yeah, I've seen it. I've been a part of it when I was a kid. I used to play shows with a guy named Jeff Fenholt, and he had claims to being a part of Black Sabbath to some extent, singing Jesus Christ Superstar. I was a kid. I was 16, 17.
I saw him on the 700 Club years ago.
Yeah, you know, talking, that just reminds me of them just grabbing somebody like that. And of course, you can Google on your own and find out where he ended up. But yeah, they do that. They just take off with this. You know, talent covers a multitude of sin, and you know, to defend on the other side the Christian music industry, because I know that it's easy to play armchair quarterback and find everything that's wrong. But I think what pastors need to realize too, to in order to have the kind of mercy and prayer life you need for these people, you know, we were children. I mean, we're really young. I mean, I've got a friend of mine, Jackie Velasquez. I think she signed a contract when she was 15, 16 years old. You know, I was in my early 20s, and you know, I look back now, and we were kids. I mean, we're not supposed to be that wise or smart. I mean, we're working on our craft, and you know, we need discipleship. And you know, it's an easy fix if the Christian music industry would start operating biblically. And start from the top of the CEOs that are running it, and understanding what is their statement of faith. You know, just like you would vet anybody else that is in leadership. They're representing the universal church as a whole. I mean, they're a big part of how they're serving the body. And I think we should, I think we're looking for CEOs instead of pastors these days, even in our own churches. But, you know, it's just to kind of not defend or condone anything, and we are all to blame, and I was definitely to blame in my behavior and what my motive was being in music. But at the same time, there is just nothing set up for mentorship, for discipleship. I remember one time, I thought it was really wild. I didn't know what to think about it, but when I was out touring with the Newsboys, they had a pastor that would tour with them. You know, I have no idea what their faith is like, their doctrine or anything like that, but they're the only ones I've ever heard of anything like that. And I look back at that and I'm thinking, man, you know what? That's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
And he would do devotionals with them, like little Bible studies daily with them, and you know, and that's, well, I never saw him do anything crazy probably. I mean, they were professionals, and they were, as far as I know, they were great guys to tour with, and they just seem to be one of those that is sincere, you know. And like I said, I don't know. I'm thinking back, you know, long time ago, so my memory isn't all that clear. But those things aren't set up, and they should be. The people in leadership, my CEO of the label at that time, the A&R directors at that time, the head of marketing at they're all grown men. They were all my age or older, and women. They should know. They should help. So it's kind of like some of these, any star that you might see, even in the mainstream, you see it happen. They gain popularity and power and money, and it's just too soon. And it just destroys people.
Yeah, in fact, as you have already said, there are quite a number of people who are executives in the CCM industry who are not even Christian at all. They have no place to make wise decisions in regarding the nurturing and protection and preservation of artists
in
the faith.
I know for a fact, if I was held down to name names, I could name several that were not and still are not believers.
And, well, that's okay, because I already recorded a private conversation we had. I'll air those names later. I'm only kidding.
Oh, man.
I'm just kidding. I'm sorry if I offended anybody. But anyway, we're going to go to our midway break right now. It's the longer than normal break that we have because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, needs to localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to Lake City, Florida by airing their own commercials and public service announcements during this break. So please use this time wisely by writing down the information provided by my advertisers, the global advertisers that support this radio program. Write down that information so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize them, because the more you patronize our advertisers, the more likely they are going to remain our advertisers, and that means the more likely Iron Sharpens Iron Radio will remain on the air, because we rely upon our advertisers' funding to exist. So please write down the information provided by our advertisers and patronize them as much as you can. Also write down information, I should say, write down questions for Pete Orta about his testimony, about anything else within the realm of the Christian music industry, or about his life that you would like to ask. And the address, the email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And please, as always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages with more of Pete Orta and part two of his confessions of a renowned Christian recording artist who was not a Christian, part two of the two-part interview that we began last Friday. So we hope to hear from you with questions for our guest after these messages. Don't go away.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times, 631-929-3512, or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions, like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
I'm Dr. Gary Kimbrell, pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. God tells us in James 1:27 that pure and undefiled religion is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. In the providence of God, 3 years ago, I discovered a poor small church outside Lusaka, Zambia, in a township called Kabanana, who are taking care of 24 orphans. I found them just at the time when they had lost all their funding. What was I to do? Could I just say, God bless you, and walk away? The situation of the children sat heavily upon me. As I was praying concerning this need, it came to me, I trust from the Lord, to tell the orphans' plight to a broader audience. The entire need for their clothing, food, education, and some medical services is $73 per month per child. If just 50 of us would give $35 a month, we could meet the need. Bethlehem Baptist Church will pay the fee to get the funds there. So if you give a dollar will get to the orphans. In this season of hope and giving, will you consider giving hope to 24 orphans? Please send your gift of any amount to Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443, or donate through our website, bbclaurel.com. Again, the address is Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443, or bbclaurel.com. Thank you.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington,
and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org. hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689. 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
Hi, I'm Stefan Lindblad, Assistant Professor of Systematic Theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture. I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture, and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well grounded in these truths. Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
Did you know that all believers are priests? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter describes Christ's church as comprising a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So if you're a Christian, you're also a priest. Now you can find the newest styles in Reformed and Protestant apparel at citizenpriest.com. Citizenpriest.com specializes in Christian-themed t-shirts and clothing especially for Reformed Christians. Citizenpriest.com's merchandise is purposefully scripture-based and meant for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the gospel. Let everyone know that you stand firm on the doctrines of the Reformed faith by wearing apparel from citizenpriest.com. Visit citizenpriest.com today.
Chris Sorensen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.org. NYC. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And you can call cvbbs.com at their toll-free number as well, 800-656-0231, 800-656-0231. They man that phone line Monday through Friday, typically between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And please, when you call, mention that you heard about cvbbs.com from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. It's important that you let our advertisers know in some way, shape, or form that you heard about them from us if you want their advertising dollars in support of our show to count. And they want you to know at cvbbs.com that the Basics of the Faith booklets are on sale for half price. Each booklet explains a fundamental aspect of belief. If you order it online, or them, I should say, online at cvbbs.com, click instructions, and that's the way that you could tell them online that you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Obviously, you could tell them that verbally if you happen to call Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time, at their toll-free number that I mentioned, 800-656-0231. Please help cvbbs.com dig their way out of a financial rut that they have landed into. They really need your support and your purchases more than ever right now. And so think of them with the holidays coming up like Easter and other times when you would be purchasing gifts and also for when you're purchasing things for yourself. And in fact, since Solid Ground Christian Books is also an advertiser with us, why not go to solid-ground-books.com, make a long list of books that they publish, and then go to cvbbs.com and order those books. That way you help both of our book-related advertisers at the same time. Solid-ground-books.com is a publisher, and cvbbs.com is a book distributor, so you will not be hurting one or the other by ordering in that way. And want to let you know that I, God willing, will be attending the Banner of Truth East Coast Ministers Conference, which is being held from May 28th through the 30th in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania. The theme is I Believe in the Holy Spirit. And they have an excellent lineup of speakers, including Jeff Kingswood, Terry Johnson, David Vaughn, who is a Reformed Baptist missionary in France, Steve Nichols, who is the president of Reformation Bible College, the college founded by the late R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries, Michael Morales, and Chad Vegas. For more details on the Banner of Truth East Coast Ministers Conference, go to banneroftruth.org, banneroftruth.org, click on events, and then click on East Coast Ministers Conference. They also have a West Coast Ministers Conference, so if you live in California or anywhere on the West Coast, and we do have a lot of people in our audience who live in that area, if you prefer going to the one closer to you, click on West Coast Ministers Conference. And we hope that you will always remember to mention the Banner of Truth that you heard about their events and about their ministry from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Last but not least, if you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, you don't want it to disappear, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now, and you can donate instantly with a debit or credit card. We are in some scary financial times. Once again, we have not yet received the necessary funds to pay for our March rent. We have a pretty severe electric bill facing us. Please help us by donating as much as you can by going to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. If you want to advertise with us, send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line, because we need your advertising dollars as well. If you have a business, professional practice, church, or parachurch ministry that you want to promote, or a special event that you want to promote, that's chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. And please always remember, never siphon money away from your regular giving to your local church in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Never do that. Never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those are two commands of God. So don't disobey a command in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. But if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, please be as generous as you can. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. If you want to send us a check via snail mail, an address will appear on the screen where you can make a check out to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and mail it the old-fashioned way. If you are not a member of a local church and you're not prayerfully seeking for one, you are living in disobedience to God, so please rectify that situation. And if you need help finding a biblically sound church near you, send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put in the subject line, "I need a church near me," or something similar. I have lists of biblically sound churches all over the world, and I've already helped a number of people in my audience find good churches, and I know for a fact that some of these folks have joined these churches. So please, don't let that rest another day. Send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put, "I need a church home." We are back now with our guest, Pete Orta. And Pete Orta is the former lead guitarist for Petra. That was from 1996 to 2000. Petra is a renowned Christian rock group and Gospel Hall of Fame inductees. And Pete Orta has also won all kinds of awards and a Grammy and many other things. And by the way, I want to make sure our listeners know this before I forget. You can hear the sermons of Pete Orta by going to iTunes, and that is under the heading Pete Orta's Sermons, and his last name is O-R-T-A. Pete Orta's Sermons at iTunes, and I'm sure you will be blessed by that. Our subject today is part two of a discussion we began last Friday. Confessions of a renowned Christian recording artist who was not a Christian, and obviously now Pete Orta, by the saving mercy and grace of God, is a Christian. And he's not only a Christian, he's a pastor. And he's not only a pastor, but he is a reformed pastor, which always brings joy to my heart. And why don't you let our listeners know a little bit more about Coconut Creek Church in Denison, Texas, something about what you are preaching on, what they can look forward to if they go to iTunes and look for Pete Orta's sermons.
Yeah, Cottonwood Creek Church. We're in a small town here in Denison, Texas, and you know, I think that what I have introduced this church to is expository preaching, and they can look forward to, you know, just unboxing one scripture, sometimes even one word at a time. And right now we're in the book of Romans. So we are in the middle of chapter 2. And we will just...
Well, what does that book have to do with Reformed theology? Just kidding, obviously.
Yeah, I told him, I said, you know, we won't be skipping chapter 9, so be looking forward to it.
By the way, I have to tell you this. I know a pastor, I'm not going to mention his name, he's a friend of mine, who is a five-point Calvinist. He used to be a free-will-believing, fundamentalist, King James-only independent kind of a guy, and his and he came out of that. His father-in-law is also a pastor who is still an independent fundamentalist King James only pastor. And when he heard that my friend was preaching on Romans 9, he said to him, "Listen to me. You gotta listen. You gotta use my sermon notes. I'm going to give you my sermon notes." So he says he's looking at the sermon notes, and in the comments in the margins of the paper, it says, "You've got to go through this chapter real quick. You gotta. It's like tearing off a Band-Aid, because if you dwell too long in any of these verses in Romans 9, you may lead people wrongly into an understanding of Calvinism. So you've got to read through this real fast." And he actually put where Jacob I loved and Esau I hated, he actually put in red pen, "Do not read this."
Oh my goodness.
You're talking about somebody who has a wooden literal understanding of how to interpret scripture, and yet with Romans 9 he's telling his son-in-law, "Don't read this and avoid this at all costs, and read it quickly." But anyway, I couldn't help but find that hilarious.
We're gonna park on that chapter for a few Sundays, I'm sure.
Now, how can, in addition to the iTunes, how can somebody who lives in Denison, Texas, nearby, or are visiting there, or they have family, friends, and loved ones there, how can they locate information on the Cottonwood Creek Church in Denison, Texas?
Yeah, they can go to CCC Denison. That's D-E-N-I-S-O-N .org, cccdenison.org. So you can go there, or you can find it on my website. My website leads people to our In Triumph ministry and the church, and so that's kind of the hub.
Yeah, and we're going to go into In Triumph ministry in greater detail than we had time for last week. But let me go to some listener questions first. We have Joseph in Little Rock, Arkansas, who wants to know, to your knowledge, were or are any of your former bandmates in Petra now theologically reformed?
Not to my knowledge, no.
Okay, that was a quick answer for you, Joe.
I don't know any of my peers that are reformed, I should say. I'm not talking about believers. They are, but reformed, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, thank you for submitting that excellent question, Joseph. And guess what? Since you are a first-time questioner in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience, you are receiving a free New American Standard Bible. Compliments of the publishers of the NASB, and also compliments of CVBBS.com, who will be shipping that out to you at no cost to you or to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Make sure we have your full mailing address in Arkansas so that CVBBS can get that out to you.
You're nicer to Razorbacks than I am. I'm a Longhorn.
But it's well, we try to keep college sports out of the show because of the ugliness that comes to the surface. I mean, it's worse than professional sports.
Oh man, that's awesome.
We have we have Gary in Na'alehu, Hawaii, and Gary says, "Roger Breland," and I'm assuming that's how to pronounce it, "founded a traveling ensemble group, Truth, in 1971 that traveled worldwide until the early 2000s. What influence have you seen Roger Breland and Truth have in the Christian music industry?" I am not familiar with Roger Breland, so I'm not sure who he's referring to.
Yeah, I think Truth was a revolving door where they kept the name going, and they hired several musicians. I cannot speak on that at all, but I have a good friend named John Thorne, who I toured with, and a good friend of mine who is a believer, a very sincere one at that, who played bass for them for some time. That's all the knowledge I know on Truth. So,
okay, Gary, keep listening to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio there in Hawaii, and keep spreading the word about it in Hawaii and beyond. Well, let us now enter into a discussion on this fascinating ministry in triumph that we just basically touched the very tip of the iceberg with last Friday when we were running out of time. Tell our listeners about this very, very valuable ministry. I'm very impressed by what you're doing with In Truth. In triumph.
Yes. It started first by, of course, the Lord saving me, and then being instructed, discipled in the Word, and then discipling my wife in the Word, just basically regurgitating what I've learned to her, and you know, raising our kids in a godly home.
It's always wonderful to hear things about ministry referred to as regurgitation.
That's all I knew how to do. Really, I would write notes down there in the Bible study and go, look what I learned here. That's about all it was. I didn't even know what a commentary was at that time. So, yeah, so after that season, and I got my legs under me, and my faith was strong, and my as far as just my boldness and just even comprehending what happened to me, that took a little while. We just felt a call to ministry. My wife and I, we both agreed on this, and because of the background that I came from, I wanted to help just unfortunate young people that just kind of didn't start off with all the advantages that other people might have had, and ended up on the street, homeless, most of the time on drugs. So what I did was I called up the foster care, you know, organizations and the children's homes, anybody that was aging out, detention centers and jails and homeless places, you know, downtown. And I said, listen, if there's anybody between the ages of 18 and 24 that your organization can no longer handle, because it was word for word, that they have spit on you, they have punched you, they have cussed you out, you don't know how to handle them, send me your worst. And that's how it started. And I started getting emails,
wow,
and phone calls, and our home line was circulating amongst the homeless youth, and they needed a place to stay. They needed food, they needed clothes, and my exchange was, well, you've got to sit down. The mandatory thing here is you got to sit down and hear me preach the gospel every day. And I did, and that was part of it, and that's how it started. And it was a rough start at that.
So tell us more about the physical details of this ministry. You know, where do these folks stay, and, you know, what do they do while they are under your supervision?
Well, they live with me. And that's where it started, and it's still like that now. I started pulling them in, and we gave
in your home.
Birth. Yes.
And how big is your home?
at that time, it was just an average home. I don't know. I don't know. 3,000, 4,000 square feet. I'm not sure.
Wow.
And so I would pull them in, and the first guy that came in, you know, he got the sofa. And the second guy came in, he got the second sofa, and then before you know it, they're sleeping in the foyer and the kitchen floor and the living room, and we've got blankets and pillows and all kinds of things, and we are just like bohemians. It was just crazy, and it was in a regular home. We had a homeowners association that we were trying to, you know, keep this under wraps until we could find a place. And man, it was just day by day, and I didn't have. There's not a rule book on this, or there's not a, you know, you can't go to a Christian bookstore or even online and go, okay, how do you set up a ministry like this? You know, how do you protect yourself, and how do you, you know, have some wisdom in this area? It was just raw, and it was fueled by nothing but gratitude that the Lord had saved my life, saved my family. And I had so much gratitude. I wanted everybody to have Jesus, and I knew that I wanted to serve, and I didn't even know it was a ministry. I told people, they would come by and said, how can we support you? They'd see all these kids here and everything, and they would make the check out to In Triumph Ministries, and I'm like, we're not a ministry. You know, I didn't see it as a legit ministry. I was just pulling in kids and feeding and clothing them and giving them shelter, and I was giving them Bible studies every day and teaching them how to pray and answering their questions. And I mean, I've had kids that I had a young man say, "Man, the only thing my dad ever did was hit me across the head with a shotgun." And I've had people that have OD'd and just got out of the emergency room and checked out of the hospital and then took a plane over to our place. And so it was just my wife and I. And man, the stories are unbelievable. And the Holy Spirit really did just ordain all of it, because I look back and how we started and how underdeveloped we were and unprepared we were, and I'm just surprised that nothing really, really dangerous ever happened.
Now, what's it like today?
Today, we have a vetting process, and we do interviews with them, and I've got of course a board of directors and a team, a local team that helps out, and we've got people that. Definitely part of the community that helped out, and we get, you know, we don't take everybody in. We want to make sure that nobody's just taking advantage or right. You know, just using us for resources and calling it ministry, but that they really want help. And they go through an interview process, and it's a profiling process. We do the Myers-Briggs personality all the way up to criminal profiling to make sure, you know, and it doesn't mean that we won't take in felons. We do. It doesn't mean that we won't take in people of all kinds of backgrounds. Even we've had youth group kids come in, which actually have been some of our worst. That have been from Christian homes. I'm not lying. Some of the worst we've ever had. And some of the most entitled. But we go through that process, and so they check in, and for about a couple of weeks, you know, I don't talk to them too much. I let them get acclimated, and they're in my home, and they have kitchen detail and duties that they do, and things that keep them busy. And they've got classes that they've got to be a part of. They help serve the church as well, and there's just a process of discipleship that has been set up for them to understand who Jesus is. And then we just hope and pray that the Holy Spirit. You know, it's their time to do work. So I've seen, I think the roughest part of the ministry that I have seen and I experienced, which I had no idea that this would be a part of it. But, you know, when you're doing the Lord's will, we always think that God is doing great things when we get to see a salvation, when we get to see somebody come to the Lord and learn the Bible and start serving the Lord and they start dying to themselves and we see that. That's the great part of ministry, but what mostly happens because of the area of the world that we're working in is we see also the Lord, that we see them reject the Lord. We see their hearts hardened by the gospel. We see kind of the threshing floor. The hardest part of ministry is understanding that God used me to preach the gospel to them, so when God damns them to hell, He's just. That's hard to swallow, to be used that way. And when you're in a ministry like this where you're dealing with most of the people have been handed over to their own demise, the percentage on that is really high. And I have had people that I have called to repentance, that I have preached the gospel to, that I've begged, that I've done everything to serve them in any way I can, and end up, you know, dying right after, getting run over or being drunk or hanging out with the homeless in real sketchy places. And I've heard them profess to me that, no, I'll never serve your God.
Wow.
And it's tough to know that, because I used to look back and question, well, God, what is this for? Is most of this in vain? And it's not. I mean, I'm helping the Lord in his not that he needs any help to be just, but he's using me to prove he's just on Judgment Day when he reminds them of the gospel I preached to them. Hard part of ministry.
Amen. Now, again, as far as the physical nature of this
ministry, this outreach that you have, are you still inviting these folks into your own home for this?
Yes.
And has the home grown in size at all, or how many people can you handle at once for this ministry?
Well, yeah, we can physically handle more than I can mentally handle. and it just depends on the now we're a 501c3, we're a nonprofit, and the ministry has bought a home, bought a hotel. It's a Traveler's Hotel. You can find it online. We're at 300 East Main Street in Denison, Texas, and it was about 120 years old hotel built by a German sea captain. And so we have taken some of the rooms for our family, and we've taken some of the rooms where we made our family living room, but we are on the ground. I mean, they are living with their pastor. Wow. They are eating breakfast with their pastor. They are eating dinner. They are doing things that have to be done around the place. And it is true, like biblical discipleship back in the day, where you shadow me, I'll follow Christ, you follow me, and we will just, pray that the Lord, honors my effort and your effort. And so it's still like that right now. It's a big enough place we could handle quite a bit. At one time, I had 14 young people. If you can imagine 14 of the toughest young people, that probably won't happen again. I mean, usually, 5 to 6, we try to keep it around. If we've got a really, really difficult person, man, I can only handle 3. If we've got a season where we're kind of catching a groove and everybody's heart, man, is really to learn and it's softening, I can handle 7. And I do have help within the ministry, and like I said, the people that are a part of the community that provide toiletry things and stuff like that. But it's a beast to run. I'll just be honest with you.
Well, if anybody wants more information about In Triumph, you can go to intriumph.org, intriumph.org, and of course you can also go to PeteOrta.com, PeteOrta.com. And we're going to go to our final break right now. It's much briefer than the last one. So please send in your emails now if you intend to have a question asked on the air. We're running out of time rapidly. Send it to ChrisArnson@gmail.com, ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We will be right back after these messages with the conclusion of part 2 of our discussion, Confessions of a Renowned Christian Recording Artist Who Was Not a Christian, and I'm speaking of Pete Orta, the former lead guitarist for Petra. Don't go away. We will be right back after these messages.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Chris Sorensen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
Pastor Billy Linhart of Sovereign Grace Particular Baptist Church of San Angelo, Texas, and I'm thrilled to have joined the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of sponsors. We fully subscribe to the Second London Baptist Confession of Faith as a faithful summary of the most vital biblical truths, desire to worship the triune God of the Holy Scriptures in spirit and truth, and seek to make His glory known in the Concho Valley, West Texas, and beyond. Sovereign Grace PBC of San Angelo purposes to center our worship on the Holy Scriptures and the Gospel of Jesus Christ in the hope that He will grow us in love and the unity of truth. After Sunday services, join us for a fellowship meal, followed by our ladies' fellowship and our children's Sunday school class. If you're looking for a church in West Texas that's serious about the Word of God and worship that pleases Him, come visit us. For details about Sovereign Grace Particular Baptist Church of San Angelo, Texas, email sgbcsa@gmail.com or visit us at sgbcsa.com. That's sgbcsa.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, But since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at Providence Baptist Church, ma.org, that's Providence Baptist Church, ma.org, or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Thrivent Financial is not your typical financial services provider. As a membership organization, we help Christians be wise with money and live generously every day. And for the fourth year in a row, we were named one of the world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute, a leading international think tank dedicated to the creation, advancement, and sharing of best practices in business ethics. Contact me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433 to learn more about the Thrivent Difference.
We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life.
Blending faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Listening to Christian radio can be a big gamble spiritually. Even many of the major Christian networks that include excellent, biblically faithful teachers on their lineup sadly often also include the worst of doctrinally dangerous heretics. If you are a lover of the doctrines of sovereign grace, you need not fear listening 24 hours a day to firstloveradio.org. They feature Christ-centered programming from Reformed pastors and teachers you can rely upon for theological soundness and biblical faithfulness, such as Dr. W.R. Downing, Dr. Peter Masters, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Robert Gifford, Al Martin, Edward Del Core, and more. FirstLoveRadio.org also live streams my Iron Sharpens Iron radio program daily. Please stick around on firstloveradio.org after Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is over to continue being blessed by the unwavering proclamation of the gospel of sovereign grace. Spread the word about firstloveradio.org. Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in for the nearly last 2 hours, we've been interviewing Pete Orta, former lead guitarist for the Grammy Award-winning group Petra, who has been inducted into the Gospel Hall of Fame. And we have been discussing Confessions of a Renowned Christian Recording Artist Who Was Not a Christian. And today, thankfully, Pete is a Christian. And he is the pastor of Cottonwood Creek Church in Denison, Texas. He is also a theologically reformed minister of the gospel. If you want to join us, we are going to be out of time before you can blink an eye. So please email us quickly at chrisarnzen@gmail.com if you have a question. We have Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, who has a question that is very similar to one that you and I were discussing off the air before the show, Pete.
Okay.
She says, I have an understanding of the South where Calvinism is a tiny minority. I don't know if that's a stereotype or not, but I was wondering what it's like to be a Reformed pastor in Denison, Texas. Do you receive much flack for preaching these truths that seem to be in the minority? In fact, I'm sure that many of our listeners will concur. Reformed theology is a minority everywhere in the world right now in the 21st century, perhaps other than Grand Rapids, Michigan. Anywhere else, it's a tiny minority. That wasn't always the case, but if you could, Pete, let us know about this.
Yes, it is very... Oh my goodness! They don't know how to handle it here. Let me give you exactly a good snapshot of it. When I started to my first day behind the Sunday behind the pulpit, the place was packed. We had it. Every chair was pew was filled.
Was that because people knew that you were the former lead guitarist?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, they. This was going to be a great church. And even some people asked me if I was going to sing, and they were just expecting an amazing morning. Little did they know, I was just going to preach the Word of God. And I was going to glorify Him through unboxing every verse that we had planned that Sunday. And it was half that number the next Sunday and half that the next. And it was startling. It was disappointing. I wanted to believe that they were here for the word. And on purpose, I just have not ever even joined in. I won't be a part of our worship team, nothing like that, just to not even give anybody any hope. But yes, the moment they hear the doctrines of grace in where I am at here, matter of fact, I think we are the only Reformed theological church in our area. So it is, we have people that sometimes travel over an hour to come to our services because they're few and far between.
Wow. Well, thank you, Susan Margaret. Keep listening to...
Pray for us.
Yeah, keep praying for Pete Orta and keep listening to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania and beyond. Well, I want to make sure that you have 3 minutes approximately to close the program with what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today.
What I would say is this. I have, in my experience, and my frustration, I got very frustrated. There's a part when I first came to the Lord, I was grateful, and then I was angry. I was angry at the church as a whole. I was angry at pastors that I was around at times, and I was even mad at some of my peers that were raised in church, that were preacher's kids, that, you know, didn't have one conversation about Jesus with me, and I had to get over that season, and, you know, it didn't last very long, and then the Lord just started softening my heart and made me realize that I'm blessed to understand the Bible at the depth that I do, that it's a blessing, and it's something that I think at the beginning I got really upset, like, why don't people get this, and why don't they understand? And I hear a lot of people, a lot of Reformed people get into the stage, and some of them never, ever click out of it, and they're just frustrated, and they've got a microscope on everybody, and they're skeptical about everything, which we should test all things. We should weigh the fruit out. I'm not saying not do that, but we get stuck in this thing, and we're just so upset. And what helped me there was realizing that this is a blessing, that the Lord chose some people that understand the doctrines of grace, to understand it to a level that we can minister with this understanding, and that not everybody, like, you know, like where I am at, there's hardly any Reformed people anywhere around that you could drive to. And it's an honor for the Lord to say, you know what, I'm choosing you, and I'm placing you in this area where it is bleak, and you're going to be the one to figure out a way how to navigate through this culture and preach the full counsel of God.
Yeah, so, that you're talking about cage stage Calvinism, as it's often called, when you were
yes.
before you had a much more merciful approach to those around you?
I did not. I was slaughtering goats and sheep all alike. It didn't matter. You know? And then I would say to the believer, where I felt like where I was most offended after I did become saved is that nobody approached me. And I've even had some talks with my peers and say, why didn't you preach the gospel to me? You know the gospel. Why weren't you bold enough? I mean, I know that I'm a very bold person, and I know that I don't pull any punches, saved or unsaved. But they never did, and I encouraged them, don't do that again. You know, you need to express your faith and not be ashamed of it and not be ashamed of any type of persecution that can happen. So I would just tell people this, especially if you're in the Bible Belt, when people say they're a Christian, you just can't assume that. I mean, we have to preach the gospel. We have to talk about Christ. We have to talk about the attributes of our Holy Father. And we've got to talk about repentance. We've got to talk about humility. We've got to talk about serving just through gratitude, because it's all of these things that show that we are saved. And I think the conversation stops when we ask, so what church do you go to? And the person says, what church? Well, I go to this church. And that's the end of talking about anything. Nobody's talking about Jesus.
Yeah, and we who are Reformed have to be reminded constantly not to violate the very precious truths we believe in the way that we react to people who don't agree with us. We act as if very often it is because of our own brilliance or keen insight or wisdom that we come to these conclusions, but even understanding the doctrines of grace is a gift of God.
Yes, and I'm going to tell you, most of our congregation doesn't realize they're Reformed. I don't use buzzwords. I don't spearhead with it. I preach the gospel. I preach the text. And if you were to go and ask them, you know, all 5 points, they would all agree. But, you know, we're just here to serve Jesus, and we're here to do it as best as we can. And we are very mobile in our evangelism and preaching the gospel. We are not the frozen chosen. And, you know, when I show up before the Bema seat, I want him to look at me and just say, you know, I'm proud of you, good and faithful servant or slave, you know, come into my kingdom. I just want to show up worn out of pure love, not earning anything. I mean, I'll get the nosebleeds when I get to heaven. I won't be, you know, anywhere. MacArthur will never meet me. We'll never cross paths in heaven. You know, I'm going to be in the nosebleeds, but so it's not to earn anything at all. I'm just so grateful he saved me. I cannot get the cross of Christ is just burned on my conscience, and I cannot remove it from my eyes.
Amen. Well, we are out of time, brother, and I want to make sure that our listeners know that they can find out more about you at PeteOrta.com. PeteOrta.com. You can also find out more about the church where Pete pastors at cccdenison.org. At CCC, D as in David, E, N as in Nancy, ISON.org. And you can also find out more about In Triumph at intriumph.org. And you can find out more about Pete's sermons on iTunes under the heading Pete Orta's Sermons. Pete, this has been a blast, these last two interviews.
I've enjoyed it.
I look forward to you returning to Iron Trip and Zine Radio, not only soon, but often. And I want to thank everybody who listened today, especially those who took the time to write in. I hope you all always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.